Thank you for the pause.
Oh. Then we back up, and he has created proof that not only did he have the intent, which is shown by the $80,000 lawsuit, but there are $12,000 outstanding that he received for those books that were sold. He would take the credit card, the cash, the whatever, send Rick the request to mail out. Rick was spending his own funds to do the mailing, and then he was never making payment. So now you have the intent and the proof that he did. Now, what else has he done that you ones should know about? Especially you ones seeking truth and proof. Because I can understand this is a very smooth man, a very good salesman. The adversary always is, precious ones. He made a note, a series of notes. I told you, one of them was $20,000 the week that he published Coleman's book that you ones had done all the work for, but have never, and it was never ever intended that you receive a cent for it. But what did he do? He's captured himself in a trap, either way, in this one also. He had borrowed or advanced, just as anyone else would. Very, very legitimately done. From the Institute with signed notes to the publisher. For over $150,000, which now amounts to somewhere in the neighborhood of $170,000 to $175,000 in advancements. For publishing, etc., for needs. Quote, always, I got sick of it, to get the word out. Whose word? What word? Which word? And where do we go to give this word? And where do we talk about phony spaceships and the Committee of 300? He used as collateral the inventory of journals. But he then turns around in a court of law and says, but publishing company doesn't even own those. Oh? That means that America West Distributors must have purchased those books then from the publisher. Right? That corporation must have bought from this corporation if they now own them. There was never any deal with a distributor of any kind. But this does indicate a commercial transaction took place. How much of the proceeds did any of you see, even the one who wrote the books? Not 1 cent. Now that's okay. He either lied in a courtroom before a judge and now on paper, and now, worse than that, has filed litigation about 9 of those volumes, which are still classified over here under any circumstances as original publications. Doesn't matter where they are. So he either lied when he said they belonged to the distributing company, or he broke his word all along the way, or he signed a legal note with a valid institute using those books as collateral. Which is it? Fraud, either way. Either way, it's fraud. Hatton has done nothing to George Green. Eckers have done nothing to George Green. George Green has efforted every way he can think of, including sending these precious ones to Jason Brent, whom he knows hates the guts of the Eckers because they cost him two elections. Settlement. I suggested you settle because I didn't see at that point any way to win. It was too fixed against you. It's different today. But now that the strength is coming forth, after all of these months of refusing any kind of interchange, I don't care what he's telling everybody. He refused any kind of interchange, and we even have a witness. Karen said to George on the phone, "Why, have you talked to EJ? I will never talk to that man again except through an attorney." Well, yesterday came a fax from George, and we need to present it here so we can flesh this thing out and take this board of directors of the Institute a little bit farther off the hook of decision making. Did you bring that?
Yes, sir.
Whatever are we going to do when we get 1999 out of your brain, we'll be on our way.
Positive reinforcement.
The letter is undated, but the fax dates things, and it says April the 23rd at 10:09 a.m. E.J. Eckert, Doris Eckert. This is to let you know that I will settle the lawsuits in which you initiated, and also
we initiated.
And also the one against the Ashby Distributors. I have also talked to University of Science and will settle that one in the way agreed prior. I don't understand how you can want to continue to litigate when Desiree and I have expended over $500,000 of our own money and guaranteed your living expenses during this time.
That one really got her. That one did our man.
I.e. the Henson writer.
Oh, and that one did it secondly. They did. Joy did send money. She wanted to send a gift. George was all tangled up in it. And there was a refusal to take it as a gift. We would take some as and go ahead and issue notes. No, no, no. Oh, yes. Well, that's that precious ones, one of those notes, is what he provided from her attorney in Michigan that said California Corporation. And he said, I didn't sign that as a director, etc. That was when there was going to be a California nonprofit, something or other. There was never, ever, 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 ever mention of such a thing. That again, total perjury right in front of you.
Yeah.
Because that attorney in Michigan assumed, since he was in California, that he needed to set it up for signing in California. Now, all the money, get this, this was for outstanding attorney's fees that she wanted to have. And later she did offer to purchase the house. But she got crossways with George Green. And so she backed off on that. That was all back then, understand. But there was a large sum of money that came in. And I believe $70,000, E.J.?
$50,000 in the first transaction.
How much of it went to gold, though? That's what I want to know. You have to go purchase this gold. You know, you don't just get some money in and they give you a whole bunch of gold. That collateral is purchased. Well, at any rate, it broke out with gold, with everything. There were $50,000, of which $30,000 went to George Green. And when he says he, through Henson Ryder, supplied EJ's and Dorma's security for living, and he never would have heard in his remotest, wildest dreams of these people had it not been for our work. And in all of this, he never gives credit for one sentence of work. What are we doing? Go on, please.
You have the opportunity to get books to sell, which you know you never paid for, as the monies were used for the Liberator and very little went to the printer.
Isn't that interesting? And let us go a little bit farther with the printer. Good Liberator people were going over, and right now still I believe that I probably have a verification of this in this room.
Yes.
Chuck was printing these books that George Green is charging you at the very least $3 in his calculations for what you might get back. Volunteers from the group were going in helping Chuck with his printing, and George Green was getting these for $1.50. That means that George Green has been cleaning up whatever he has sold, $8.50 a book. And the only reason that he wants to deal now is because he called the major copyright attorney in New York, Bloom and Bloom, Cook and Cook, something, ABC. And just based, now mind you, he didn't sell any books, but just based on that $12,000, what am I up against? And they told him that in contempt of federal court order, they can charge him up to $10,000 a book. That is $12 million George Green will owe in fines. I guess he's getting interested in settling.
Cooking. No wonder.
Go on, I think.
Let's stop the further nonsense and let us go on with our lives and get rid of the expenses. Dixon did not act in a rational manner from our previous discussion. The continuous accusations do not do anyone any good by the number of letters we are receiving.
Hot dog, you ones have done it. You cannot imagine how many letters they have received petitioning to stop this.
That's great.
If you do this good a job, you'll turn the Constitution around. You'll get it back.
Confusion does not get you an audience. What happened to the focus of getting the truth out rather than fighting?
Hat on went bonkers.
Rather than fighting in open court, and for what? The board was told you agreed to settle, and yet that wasn't what Dixon said. He wanted to change the terms so that you get everything, and we have all the potential lawsuits. you're certainly not understanding the situation. We are taking a huge financial loss just to get away, or as I told Dixon, I will spend the time in the courts and not defending your position, as all you have done is attack us. You started this. You can end it. Just call Vallis, as it should be, and he will contact Horton to unwind the mess. George.
$45,000, you see. He was going to charge $50,000. But you see, all of you nice people went to court. You would hate to give that up, wouldn't you? Wasn't that an experience?
Yes. Yeah.
What? And didn't that attorney say $45,000 and George gave you $50,000?
That's right.
Just a little here and a little there. Now, if he has $1 million, does he need yours? He obviously still has his ongoing arrangement with Coleman. He said so.
It's true.
The problem is you don't know what's going on. And each of you has this bubbling need to sacrifice and be miserable. Dorma, as much as all of you, don't hurt poor George.
He deserves it.
Well, let's not get too mean.
Had enough mercy here.
The point is, we don't really want to undo them. But do you sit still and let God be trampled over?
No.
No.
Your stewards. Is it honorable to Dave Overton? $45,000, I want to tell you that every negotiation from the day that court was heard to George going around without even notifying, these are the ones that went to court. And you were in that courtroom when that attorney that represented George Green went all the way with the one from USNP against you. He has been in negotiations and dickering with those ones from onset, and they finally told him they would settle for the $45,000. It did not come around this way. He did that. How much legal help do you think you might get for $45,000? Plus the $65,000 that you were willing just to give him for his pocket change. You're talking at over $100,000. Wouldn't that buy a little bit of legal help and maybe someone could get educated? You're talking about the explanation of what God is. Not some cute little Lyle Russell who wants to sit and meditate upon it while they bury the scientific value of Walter Russell's work. That's why nobody's ever heard of him. That's exactly what they did with Nikola Tesla. Are you going to let it happen? Well, you've got to confront it. It isn't like it'll be lost. It just means Dorma's got to work harder to get it all redone and get Walter Russell out of it so that they don't come and tear him down. But I'll find a way to make sure Walter Russell gets his credit. So we have two things. We have the contempt thing that is still pending, and the judge is absolutely scratching his head. Number one, he doesn't know why in the world he ever let Ed Young on the stand.
That's right.
He had to sit there and say, damn, this was on emotion. You don't even have witnesses. And for crying out loud, he turned to be intelligent. This could go wrong. My goodness. I better check, you know, with my higher entities in Washington.
Terrestrial.
Right. But he probably, if it's not settled, will come down with a contempt charge, which, of course, then you have to appeal, and then it goes on and on and on and on into infinity until finally Germain gets on the stand and tells them all to shove off. At which time, Germain will probably get in contempt of court, and Dorma will have to go to jail anyway.
Oh, no. I don't believe it.
But you won't. Thank you. That's what I've tried to explain to her. But a decision does have to be made. A reconsideration of the decision. We made a decision, then we made another decision, and then now EJ has done a counteroffer, and he said, no, we won't take a split. But Mitch is kind, and ones are kind, and so I believe that he was offered to settle, and the Institute would pick up the money to Henson Riders, that note. It was already covered with gold anyway. So that's nice, because he had done a personal note for them, and he got the money. What in the world are we talking about? I guess maybe the thought for the gift is truly the best part. He's made a deal with US&P that would never have ever come up had he not tried to thieve it. Those books would be sitting at Tehachapi Distributing had he done exactly what he said he was going to do and not done what he's done. There should not be a $45,000 bill. It's his bill. He is the one in contempt. Now he wants you to pay for it. And then after all these things are paid, including that, and the attorneys, etc., the gold will be sold and you'll split the difference. Big deal. He must think he can settle some way with US&P, because that was only a contempt hearing. It has nothing to do with the books. Unless, of course, he's made another deal, which you know he had. He would have gotten the 5 volumes back. Unlawfully, because they belong to Rick Martin. They no longer belong to the Institute. And if they did belong to George Green, they would belong to the Institute as collateral for that note. So the reason when EJ slipped and said Overton rather than Overton rather than Horton, I stopped him. Shouldn't Dave Overton have some input into what his gift would go to? You see, the Institute went on record to the court to please return the gold to the original owner in Texas. And Mr. Overton could make his decision. But George has already split up the gold and sold it, see? I mean, he's got the gold because it's in the court. But right now, it is sell the gold and do all these things with it. At this point, it isn't even wise to sell it because the price is going to go up. However, that is beside the point. It's probably going to need to be sold anyway to come to any kind of a conclusion to this mess. And we all know what Dave Overton will say. Whatever makes it easiest for Dorma. He would have bought her home for her directly. It was in the letters that George is using for proof. For mortgage payments, whatever is needed. George and Desiree Green were renting. They had no mortgage payments. And Dave Overton had no way to reach the Eckers. Period. Everything had to come through America West. So it was extremely easy to divert. And he did. And he has diverted one hell of a lot more than you can imagine. Now, Gold Digger Dorma, out there trying to get her greedy most out of this. The little group hasn't stopped giggling yet. They finally go down and gather all this stuff off this corner thing, you know, that's piled up to, it's being held up by the upper shelf. How much did you find in there?
So far, $650.
Spendthrift. Dorma's wasted all of your money. Squandered it on parrot food.
Don't forget the phony flowers.
True.
I think that's one.
And you're going to be sorry you mentioned that one. She wants to know where are the real ones that go in the flower beds that are overgrown with weeds. What do we do? I don't want to be King Solomon here. Neither do I want to bring any more pain or misery. George also included in his document something that I wrote a long time ago when he was being thrust upon out on the road and they were trying to discredit him. And I meant it. I have said it over and over again. I will repeat it. I have nothing but gratitude and appreciation. We are here today because they served, for whatever reason they served, is between them and God. I am full of gratitude. As we turn it around and look at the reflection, however, we must consider, were we also damaged badly by that which we did not know might be said out there, because some pretty interesting things have come back to Hatton. And they didn't resemble anything I sent out. It is not to the extent that the inside groupie is saying. And these are pretty interesting uptown people like Al Bielek, etc. The word through that community is that George Green took $10 million from here.
What?
Now, if he did that, I don't see how he did it. I would really have to look into it. I believe that is just somewhat of an exaggeration. It was greater than you know, but lesser than that. But I will guarantee that it has cost you that much. Also is the rumor that he is a direct agent serving to pull this down via the CIA. And I can verify that.
Yes. So that's true.
That's true.
That's how it comes.
I don't even know if that poor little machine knows.
If it's a picture.
So are we willing to risk Burma's time in jail?
No.
No.
I'll keep her out of jail. She can cause more trouble otherwise.
Well, that's one for John. Later she gets back, you're on the same list as EJ. She'll have you both out there digging up those weeds.
Good.
You gotta dig mine up.
Which tack shall we take? DJ, I think maybe you should make some expression here, and let's, maybe it's too late, maybe it's, I don't know what they are, where they are in their, I mean, it's been a new one every day. Monday, after tomorrow, got canceled, continued, because you had a very bad attorney. You have a very good one now. You have a higher member of that same law firm, but this one knows what he's doing. And I will say this to go on record. All those attorneys that have never bothered to respond to any of my calls, you blew it, buddies. Because when we're done, you are going to be Nevada corporate attorneys that won't stop. And there aren't any in California or any of the other states. And I'm going to require that they learn everything there is to know about Nevada corporations. And they're going to make a lot of money. Mr. Vallis is young, but he's also quite arrogant. And did, in fact, for Monday's hearing, file a motion against the motion, which is absolutely kicked out of court. Embarrassing, to say the very, very least. Well, it was caught. But you know what? EJ and Doris are getting sick to death of having to do their own law work. It behooves an attorney to string it on and on and on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quality means nothing. Quantity means everything to an attorney. I have to somehow reach through to Scott Tipps. Scott Tipps has the detail mind to be the best corporate attorney on the face of the earth.
True.
So somewhere we've got to get rid of all the friction. Get focused. But you see, it's always money. Well, I don't know if I can afford to do that. I have this, you know, $700,000 home I've got to attend. Well, if you don't get caught up, mind you, if you don't get caught up in what is coming down, you don't have a job anyway. That home won't be worth a pile of rubble after the big one anyhow. Put your mind to what the future is. And in the interim, it's going to be in Nevada corporate law if you want to get anywhere. Free attorneys, when this kind of litigation goes away, because it will. I'll guarantee you, it will. When this nitpicking crap goes away, you won't have so many lawyers. You know the joke. No, you don't know the joke. I'll tell you the joke. There was a group gathering. And right offhand, I can't even remember what the first thing was, but it was a national, you know, a national commodity. I believe, oh, I know what it was. It was Russian. And they're sitting around in this group, and the Russian has his bottle of prime vodka. And he said, here, let us have a drink. So they passed around the vodka, and I believe they were on an airplane. And this doesn't make sense, so there's no reasoning to this. Please, scientifically, he threw the vodka bottle out the window. And they said, well, why did you do that and waste that? And he said, Russia's floating in it. We don't need it. So the next one was a Cuban. And he passes around these beautiful Havana cigars. Takes his own, throws the box out the window. Well, what the hell are you doing? Says the American. Those, you can't even get them in America. Well, that's all we got over in Cuba. So they looked at the American. And there were some lawyers in amongst this group, you see. And they said, well, sir, what do you have to offer? And he threw the lawyer out the window.
Good business.
And I apologize for spoiling the joke. But I have a lot of them. How do you tell the difference in a lawyer and a snake dead on the highway? By the skid marks in front of the snake. Now that was told to us by an attorney, so fact. So he doesn't really care for attorneys, so I think we can swing him around. Once he frees himself from the burden that George Green's placed on him, George Green jeopardized his very career by misleading him, and he believed him. And he drew up some documents trying to get those books freed, only to find it was a lie that he had been told. You see, George told everybody that he contacted, and by his own words, he contacted over 1,200 people. And he told them all that they could get these 5 books from him. That they'd been released, the court no longer wanted them. And if you ones need verification of that, there were a lot of phone calls threatening that attorney for US&P. If those were released, it was going to be his head. And there was a lot of explaining to be done, at which point, this is when Scott Tipps asked for release. Because there could no longer be any representation in this particular case. That's serious when you set up a friend, especially something that could disbar this man. And yet it sounds very good to say you started it. No. That's not so. So let's hear from you, E.J. with.
Would you like to hear the current? I shouldn't say you know what it is. Would the audience like to hear the current on the table offer?
Yes.
Yes. I can see what they're going to give away.
No, I don't think I can help.
Thank you. This is the offer that Dixon was working on the week ending Friday the 16th. That's a little over a week ago. Number one, Overton and Sarte Gold and Silver Bar released immediately to the Institute. Number two, immediate shutdown of USCP case prior to hearing in Fresno Monday 4/19. Number three, immediate shutdown of both Minden, Gold, and Carson City journal inventory cases with all appropriate releases to both parties. Four, immediate release of all Phoenix journal and tape inventory, not to include the inexpensive operator owner manual, and the Book of Desiree's Sananda writings called the Pre-Flight Instructions. Number four, Phoenix Institute assumes responsibility and releases George for the two Hinson Rider notes totaling $70,000. Number six, Phoenix Institute pays off the printer, estimated $40,000. Number seven, Phoenix Institute pays George Green $50,000, with which George must secure a complete release of the USP case. Number eight, Phoenix Institute pays George $75,000 in final settlement based upon the representation that there are approximately 110,000 journals in the inventory. Number nine, release of suit versus Tehachapi Distributing, Inc. and cancel the $87,000 invoice. Number ten, statement for publication in The Contact, formerly The Liberator. That was the offer of 416. That offer has been modified by the following postscript to the letter, dated 4/23/93, which was Friday. Well, Dave, we have just learned of some additional mischief that George has been into. I won't detail it here, but have pulled the board by telephone, and their unanimous opinion is that George Green not only should not get any of the proceeds of the stolen gold, but should get some jail time. With some discussion and effort, we have concluded that if we reduced his walking money to zero, he might not be able to pay his several attorneys, which might foreclose his ability to settle, so we have agreed to modify the offer by reducing the amount free and clear to Green's to $20,000. All other items remain as listed. That offer is on the table now. It has not been accepted or rejected. It was sent out of here, crossed over George's incoming letter suggesting that we settle, and I am not sure what the protocol is when it comes to canceling an offer, but I presume we have that right any time that we want to do that.
You could rescind it.
Can I ask a question?
Margie?
Yes. What does whether you accept this offer, say, have to do with Doris's case pending to have to go to jail. Is there any connection?
One of the items is that the USMP case be completely released.
Well, can they release something that the court is already trying to find her guilty of? Can they do that?
They say they can.
Oh, okay.
Well, we have to also remember something else. That is what Gene said when he was kind of teasing. The judge could have her picked up and put in jail. On the other hand, that would be a very... that would not be a wise move. And you can appeal it. That doesn't mean necessarily that they wouldn't re-rule. So the only sure way is literally to wipe it out. But is it fair? You see, even God is not always fair, but he will always be just. So let us look at it. Is it just? Is it just for the institute? Let's not put it on personalities. You see, it comes personally against the Eckers. But guess what? It is coming out of monies that would go into the institute, was intended for the institute, etc. So I don't want to put it on the burden on the backs of you ones in this room and say, well, we're going to keep our money and send ours to jail. I think that highly unlikely. On the other hand, I also, 3 days ago, she couldn't afford to be away because Kathy's baby was going to be due any minute. So suddenly the baby's done and she feels better and she says, I could handle jail. So don't make up your minds on the basis of whether or not she would go to jail. Not at this point. Because with the proper amount of support,